Joining us is David Quist. He is the executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. How are you, sir?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm okay. It's getting close to Christmas. You know, it's exciting times.
That's always a good thing.
What do you think about these changes?
Well, I'm pleased that the Attorney General recognizes there's a problem. Unfortunately, I think we're looking at that problem from the wrong point of view. Rather than making divorce easier, we should be strengthening marriage. And through that process, I believe that we'll actually decrease the divorce rates. We'll have strengthened families and all the positive outcomes that come through that. And at the end of the game, there's no such thing as a good divorce. Kids are hurt, moms are hurt, dads are hurt. And if we can strengthen marriage and strengthen families, then everybody wins, and the taxpayer doesn't have to pay as much out of the tax pocket as well.
How do you suggest that happens, though? Something like mandatory counseling or something like that before people can actually apply for a divorce? Or how would you confront something like
that?
Well,
I think that's a part of it. I think that we need to recognize that when we look at divorce, there are high conflict and low conflict marriages, and those high conflict areas are ones that where there may be some form of abuse, there may be some sort of neglect, alcohol and drug problems and things like that. Those are unfortunately cases where divorce may be the only outcome unless the parties involved want to actually go through drug and alcohol rehab and make some serious changes in their lives, and unfortunately that may or may not take place. Thankfully, those are low percentages. That high conflict marriages are actually probably less than 10% in terms of a divorce action. So the low conflict marriages where there are, you know, I'm just tired of the situation, I don't think I'm getting everything out of it. You know what? Those people actually, when they're unhappy now, research is showing that 5 or 10 years down the road after the divorce, they're still unhappy people.
Yeah.
And so the divorce is not the key. The key is actually a personal attitude and personal change and almost the approach of, do I want to make this work? I mean, let's face it. I'm married for a lot of years. Not every instance has been good. It's been hard work. It's not an easy process, but I'm committed to it. And so that commitment, in my case, has lasted almost 30 years.
But I think the problem is that people go into marriage now in 2009 and in our time, and not necessarily both parties are as committed.
I agree.
that's what happens.
I think that society in general has gone from a what's best for us routine to what's best for me routine.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that is seen in so many ways, not just in personal relationships, but, you know, myself versus society or the government or the tax regime and so on. But when we look specifically at marriage, marriage is not a singular process. It's a partnership. It's between a husband and a wife. And that needs to be taken as full commitment. It's not an easy process. I mean, there are some wonderful, joyous occasions in everybody's marriage, or at least there should be. But to simply try to make the divorce process easier, I think, is looking at the problem from the wrong end of the pipe.
I think, though, that some people would disagree, meaning anyone that has been through a divorce knows the pain of which
mm-hmm.
they deal with through the entire process. And as I was saying, if they are the one that was committed, they don't really have a choice. The other person is pursuing it, and to make it easier would take away some of the emotional pain. And I think that's what maybe they're looking at, is divorce has more to do with emotion and anger and a lot of different things than the actual process itself. Mm-hmm. It's all of the feelings that are involved.
I think there's two parts of this problem. One is the situation for those people who are in that right now, and yes, all that pain and anger and in some cases guilt are very much present. But I think what we need to do, and that's one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that we need to look at what do we as society think about marriage as a whole. And one of the things that we need to do, and I think, is we need to be telling our kids and our teenagers, both in our homes but also in the school system, in our education system, that these are the positive benefits of marriage, that you will on average, live longer and healthier lives. You will live wealthier lives. You'll live more satisfied lives. And unfortunately, that's new information for a lot of people. And yet, the social science research is there in spades for. It's very strong and unequivocal. So we need to look at not just the short-term issue of those people are facing divorce right now. That's one part of the problem. But we need to look long-term and say, if we're trying to really decrease the pain and anguish that goes with that, why don't we try to decrease the divorce rate as a whole? And how do we do that? We start with our younger people. We let them know. And in fact, an MTV poll a couple of years ago looked at that very question. And so they surveyed between teens from 14 to 21 years of age. The vast majority of them said, I want to be married. I want to be in a monogamous relationship. And I want to be married forever.
But I think those are lofty goals, though. I think that young people want...
Shouldn't we have lofty goals when it comes to something as important as the Institute of Marriage?
No, what I mean is I think that they... It's like a fantasy for them, for young people. They don't really think about the work that's involved in it, meaning that it's not easy. It's not going to be like it is on television.
Well, fantasy is I want to grow a beanstalk and have the goose that laid the golden egg. I think that is can be reality for many, many people, but we're not reinforcing it in society. We're not encouraging it through our tax system with the various levels of government, and we're not recognizing the importance of marriage from a very early age and teaching our kids accordingly. If we do that, I think we can have some significant improvements in the whole institution of marriage and family.
How can young people, though, of your, and you suggested an MTV survey, so of MTV age, how can they think highly of marriage when a lot of their parents have split up?
Actually, that is part of the science and the research that's looking at it, is that a lot of kids, you're absolutely right, have gone through messy divorces with their moms and dads, and they say, I don't want to go there. And they make one of two decisions. Either I'm not going to get married at all, and so they just reject the whole premise, or they say, I saw what happened to my mom and dad, and I know personally what happened to me. I'm not going to let that happen. When I get married, it's forever, and my kids are not going to have to go through what I had to go through.
How do you explain why there are so many divorces happening in North America, not just Canada, but Canada and the United States? What is it?
Well, in 1968, we changed the Divorce Act here in Canada. It was around that same time in the U.S. as well, that divorce was very difficult to get before that time. And, is in any part of social policy, the pendulum swings one way and then it swings the other way. And in 1968, we introduced no-fault divorce. And the pendulum has swung so far the other direction that we've made divorce so incredibly easy that at the least drop of a hat, I can say, you know what? I'm out of here. And I don't have to make a commitment. It's always like a trial. You know, we look at cohabitation almost as a trial marriage, when in fact, the research is showing it's not a trial marriage. It's a trial divorce. And so the outcomes for cohabitation are almost always negative. They're negative for the individuals, negative for the relationship, negative for kids that are involved as well. So we've taken this grand institution of marriage that had some great outcomes, and perhaps it before 68 didn't allow for those high-risk marriages to come apart as easily, and we needed to adjust that accordingly. But we've taken it so far the other direction that now there's no incentive to stay in a marriage and make it happen, make it stay strong.
Dave Quist is the executive director for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, our guest this morning. So what do you think these changes are going to do? Obviously, they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we can go backwards. So what do we do?
Well, as I said, I think we're only looking at part of the problem. I haven't done the letter yet, but after receiving and looking at the information from the Attorney General's office yesterday, we will be sending some of our research into the Attorney General's office to ask him to look this over and say, there's another piece of the puzzle that you need to be considering here. And that is, how do we not just make divorce easier? Because I don't think that's the solution. I think we need to strengthen and make marriage better. Strengthen that institution and the divorce rates will naturally drop. We did some research earlier this year, and the cost of family breakdown in Ontario alone is $3.2 billion every single year.
What does that take into account?
That takes into account income supplements for broken families, housing supplements, child care supplements, and then a portion of other various programs. Those are just related to family breakdown. There are other similar programs for income, housing, and child care as well that are outside of family breakdown. But those are the ones that we could specifically identify that had to do with family breakdown. On top of that, and we didn't calculate these numbers in, but on top of that are the enormous court costs, which of course is a public cost as well. There's fees that are going to lawyers, either through legal aid or to private lawyers. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lost productivity cost, which again, it's difficult to put an exact number onto that. So $3.2 billion a year coming out of our taxpayers' pockets at a time when we're facing record deficits, at a time when our healthcare system is stretched perhaps beyond breaking point at this point. And here we are, not trying to make changes to improve marriage and keep people together. Rather, we're trying to make divorce easier. That is still going to result in single-parent moms and single-parent dads that are struggling to make ends meet. The vast majority of poverty is made up of single-parent moms. They have the hardest job in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And yet, we're not trying to solve their problem. We're just trying to almost keep them in poverty with some of the programs that we actually have out there right now.
So you're writing a letter to the Attorney General.
We'll be passing our research and information on to him, drawing it to his attention that here's the information that we see for the cost of family breakdown. Here are some possible solutions to it. I mean, there's no sense just saying, hey, there's a problem.
What are the solutions?
Well, we think some of the solutions are education is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We think that counseling both before marriage and before any divorce proceedings start is a part of that process as well. There are some marriage penalties within the tax system as well. Where we actually penalize parents. Some of that's federal and some of that is provincial, and so that needs to be allocated appropriately. We also need to recognize that a married couple, the outcomes are not the same as a cohabiting couple, and therefore we should recognize that in our tax law as well, and make differences accordingly, and recognize that, and ensure that that married couples have as many strong benefits as we can in order to support them as much as possible.
Dave Quist is Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. People can get more information. You have a website?
Absolutely. If they come to our website at imfcanada.org,
mm-hmm.
we'd be only too pleased. All of our research is available there. And there's a second website that you can link to from ours or you go directly to, and that's familyindex.net. And that's a database of about 4,000 articles, all on done by academics and researchers literally from around the world, all on issues that concern families, and divorce and marriage are a key part of that.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Take care.